and welcome to the Vineyard Church Springbrook podcast from right here in Alcoa, Tennessee. We post our Sunday messages here each week and the occasional special announcement or series. You can visit vineyardchurch.us and select Springbrook from the menu to learn more about us or to access our audio archive. You can also subscribe to this podcast on Spotify, Apple, or Google Podcasts. And now, here's the episode.
All right. If you want to, go ahead and find a seat. There's a lot of room up front if you're looking for a new seat. A lot of room on the front row. Go ahead and find a seat. We'll get started. If you're in middle school, I think that they're just about to leave, so not too late if you want to join. I'm going to do our scripture reading today, and it is from Revelation 21, 1 through 7, and we're going to be reading from the NLT version. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the old heaven and the old earth had disappeared, and the sea was also gone. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down from God out of heaven like a bride beautifully dressed for her husband. I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, "Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever." And the one sitting on the throne said, "Look, I am making everything new." And then he said to me, "Write this down, for what I tell you is trustworthy and true." And he also said, "It is finished. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To all who are thirsty, I will give freely from the springs of the water of life. All who are victorious will inherit all the blessings, and I will be their God, and they will be my children." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thanks, buddy. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this morning. Thank you for a celebration and a party, a moment to honor what's been and what's coming, and thankful for the faces and the people that fill this place. It is a great honor to be here today. And so we ask in the next few minutes that you would stir something in us as we consider what's been and consider what's coming. In your name we pray. Amen. Hi. How are you? So we have a new logo. Yeah, it's really great. Emily, will you throw it up there if you've got a slide just with the logo on it? I just wanted to talk about it just for a minute because it's new and it's on purpose. And so it makes sense to do that. There's a little bit of a story behind it. Many, many months ago, Chris Campbell and I started receiving some texts from Andrew Webb with logo ideas. We didn't ask for them, but he sent them. And he just started sending them. And occasionally, they'd be really good. No, I'm just kidding. and so Chris and I have this, like, we both get one at the same time one time, and we're like maybe we should just, like, set him free to do this logo thing. And it was kind of like, you know, we kind of knew this was coming, and we knew that us becoming our own autonomous church was in the works, and so we did. And so at some point, we were like, maybe we should give him a little bit of direction. And so I talked to Andrew, and I gave, as I do, you know, to speak for a living, I can't give a direction to save my life. I cannot explain things to save my life. So I was like, here's what I want. I want it to have a cross on it. I want it to be really pretty, like somehow old church and new church. And I want it to look good on a pint glass. Those were the three things that I said. Those were my three tips. I don't know if Chris added anything to it, but the next thing we know, Andrew sends us this logo. And I'm like, well, this is really good. And we weren't even ready. Like, our boards hadn't even voted yet. We're just like, in the future, should this ever happen, this would be a fun thing to do. And then our boards voted, and it was time to start moving forward. And so we actually did some commissioning and had people work on different logos that might work for us. And we just kept coming back time and time and time again to this one that Andrew found for us. And here's why. There's a cross on it. And it's really beautiful. I think it looks like stained glass. But what's amazing to me is that outside of the cross, it looks like there's these living things coming. Like, the first time I saw it, I was like, it's leaves. The next time I saw it, I was like, it's tulips. Someone else that we showed it to said, it looks like doves. And all of these words were these, like, alive and flourishing words. And I'm like, as often as we talk about the garden and flourishing and things like that in this church, we need a logo that looks alive. And so we call Andrew, and we're like, how do we get it? So he had to find some random guy on the internet that made this, and we paid him some money, and now we own it. So we think, we're pretty sure, we're like 80% sure that we own this thing, but now it belongs to us and maybe others, we don't know. So I want to thank Andrew Webb for sticking with us and finding something so beautiful for us. I know. He's not just a drummer, and then we took this and walked alongside Aaron Wright. So Aaron Wright has been doing communications for Central, for our church, for a few years now, and she this August did this incredible thing, and she has decided to go out on her own and create a design firm all on her own. So the great news for us at Springbrook is we got to hire her to do communications and design at the exact same level we were already doing it. So we don't lose Aaron, which we've been so glad and thankful for. She'll be on stage next week singing for us. So yeah. So she was very patient with me she was like, let's pick two colors for the logo. And I was like, have you met me? We ain't going to be picking two colors. We're going to pick 40. And she's like, what if it was four? And we went with six. So we got a lot of colors here. and that's really fun. So we will never get bored. And then when we do, we'll come up with new colors. And so that's been a really fun thing. We have something coming in a couple of weeks. We've been working with Sam McGee, who also is not just a bass player, but works for a company called New Frame Creative, who are creating a new website for us. And y'all, it is so good. It's coming, we hope, by November 1st. It's so beautiful. It looks so much like us. It makes me a little weepy. So I just wanted to say thank you in front of everyone for the creative minds that have gone into making this possible. I told a few of you this morning that Johnny, I hope, has had fun. It hasn't all been fun, but he's been doing the work behind the scenes of, like, all of these forms and papers. And so about a quarter of the forms come across my table that Johnny spends his time on. And I would reward myself. I'm like, if I fill out these two forms for the state, then I could go look at fonts for 30 minutes. And so it's been a really fun process. So it's fun to get to, it's hard to unveil to you our, 501c3 number. But I want you to know that that's happening behind the scenes, that Johnny has been so good and faithful to our church in untangling knots and doing that alongside of Amy Roberts, who's here with us, who's been on our central team, who's lost in work relationship. I grieve beyond words today. So it's a good Sunday. And I keep saying honor what's been and honor what's going, because I think all of this has been a good mix of joy and a good mix of grief and all of the things intertwined together. But in order to kind of talk about where we're going, I really wanted to spend a few minutes today talking about where we've been and what the story of Springbrook is. If you've ever taken a new members class or gone to a Next Steps lunch here at Springbrook, or maybe you helped plant this thing, and a whole lot of you in this room did, you already know the story, but I am of the belief that good stories should be told over and over and over again, because they get better and a little bit bigger, as you keep going. And if you're me telling them. So I want to talk about how we've been, how we've evolved over time. So our story begins a little bit over 10 years ago when Aaron McCarter, who's the pastor at the Maryville Vineyard, asked Daniel and I to go to lunch after church with him one day. And so we go to lunch and we talked about the things that you talk about after lunch. Like, I love that song. I also hate this song. Why do we keep doing that song? And, the preacher talked too long. And she wasn't that funny. And so not as funny as she thinks she is. So we're talking about the things you talk about after church. And Maryville had just moved into a new building, not the one one there now, but at the time, the building previously that was brand new to them, and they were busting at the seams. And so one of the things we talked about is how, like, you know, there were like no seats, and it's like, what's next? They were running, I think, 4 services. They were about to add a 5th service. It was nuts. And so we're like, what are you going to do? And Aaron says, you know, we're considering doing this thing called a multi-site church. And Daniel and I never heard of it, and he was like, essentially, it's kind of like a centrally resourced establishment that would have sort of like parishes in neighborhoods and towns that this central body could serve it, where maybe like a church in a small town might not be able to resource in the same way a bigger church could resource. And so you kind of get the best of both worlds, and he's unpacking this idea, and Daniel's the nicest person in the world, and he's like, yes, I actually think he really liked the idea, and he was like, yes, this is amazing. Not the nicest person in the world and not known for not saying what I think. Aaron was like, what do you think, Lindsay? And I was like, that's a terrible idea. I think it's horrible and I wouldn't go to one. What you're going to do, like a video service? Like, I'm not doing that. I'm not going to go to that. I think it's awful. But if you do it, you should do it in my neighborhood because I think it could work there. And he's like, okay, but you won't go? And I was like, no, definitely not. A few months after that, Aaron and his wife Sharon call and asked Daniel and I to come over. And it was one of those, like, can you come over tonight or tomorrow morning? And it's like a really short thing. And if you've ever had a phone call like that from a friend, you know it's the, like, either somebody's sick or someone's done something very bad or they're moving. You know, like, usually those aren't surprise birthday parties or things like that. And so we're kind of bracing for impact. We walk in the room and we're just talking, and then they start talking about this multi-site church idea again. And it's like, this again? You know, and so he keeps going, and then at one point Aaron looks at me and he was like, we want to do it, and we're moving forward with this, and we think you should do it. Like, you should be the pastor of this church. And I was like, excuse me? Actually, the more honest telling of that is that I was drinking some water, I choked on it, and then said a bowling word immediately. And then my next question was, if your response to will you be the pastor is a bowling word, can you be a pastor? That's why I'm just getting ordained in like 2 weeks, because I needed to like work on my language a little bit. It hasn't taken, but... Anyway, so that's my response. We're like, what? We promised to pray about it because they're our friends and our pastors and we're nice people and that's what you do, you know? I tell this a lot Daniel shook his head no for the next like 8 hours or the next day or something. Like any question you ask him, he'd be like, are you hungry? And he's like, yes. And I'm like, are you hungry or not hungry? And he's like, yes, I'm hungry. And I'm like, you're just prepping to be able to say no to this, because that was our answer. Our answer was absolutely no, but we're going to be nice and pray. And then the Lord just started to move. We just started to pray, and God moved. The next Sunday, I went to church at Maryville Vineyard, and a guy that I quote a lot on here named Adam Russell was preaching there, and he's become a friend, but I didn't know him at the time. And have you ever been in a service where you feel like the preacher is just talking to you? Like, that was that Sunday for me. I told you they were running 4 services. I went to every single service, and I sat right in the middle of the room, and I was just like, this is for me. I just felt like he prophetically was speaking over me and what was next for my life, and really the lives of my friends and family and the people that would be part of this. And at the end, after the last service, I went up to him, and I was like, man, I felt like you were just like looking at me, like dead in the eye the whole time. And he said, I was. And I said, how come? Like, was it for me? And he said, you came to every service and sat right in front of me. I thought you were about to take me out, like at any moment. And I was like, oh, well, maybe. And then he kept speaking prophetically over me and saying, this, I think this is what's next. And so Daniel and I started to float it to a few people, to friends and family, because we thought everyone will tell us this is crazy and we shouldn't do it. And so we'd float the idea out and they would say, this is crazy and you got to do it. And we'll come with you. Do you know what a risk it is? Do you know what a risk it is to look at your friend and say, I'll follow you as a pastor? I've done it. It's hard. And our friends did that, and they still sit here. We were leading a college Bible study at the time, and we looked at these college kids, and we're like, want to plant a church? And they were like, yeah. And like, they're sitting over there. And so we planted this church. We stood up in front of Maryville Vineyard, and we said, anybody want to come with us? And y'all were like, yeah, sure. We'll come. I was like, are you sure? Because we're not going to get a new logo for a lot of years. No, I'm just kidding. So we did it. Y'all, I had a 3-year-old. What were we thinking? Like, I did not have time to do this, and we did it. But when I went to Aaron Sharon to say yes, I was like, okay, I'm in. I'm in to do this, but I'm not going to do it without Johnny. Like, Johnny, we'd been leading a Bible study with Johnny, and he had become not just a dear friend, but someone that I love working with. And so I was like, I'll do it, but I'm not going to do it without Johnny. And they said, great, who's Johnny? And I was like, you got to meet him. You're going to think he hates you, but he doesn't hate you. He loves you. And he's coming with us. And you know, this is my ultimatum. And they said, absolutely yes. I'm pretty sure in the moment I said, he'll be your executive pastor one day. And that proved true. So we started, and the way that we started was we did the video sermon thing that I thought was such a terrible idea, and it turns out it was so bad. And then I was like, forget it. But I didn't think I wasn't a preacher. I didn't know how to do this. I'm like, I can't preach. But the good thing about the video sermon is there was nowhere to go but up, right? Because it was so bad that it would like just set this foundation where it was like, oh, she's real and in person, and We'll take her. We shared so many things. We shared curriculum and kids ministry. We shared a youth group. Sam was like youth pastor for all of these, for both locations and all of these kids. I mean, we're just trying to share all of these things. But what happened is in quick ways and in slow ways, we started to evolve along the way. Again, I didn't know I had preaching in me, and then I loved it. We didn't know we'd have enough people to fill a band week after week after week, but we did. We didn't know we'd have enough people to volunteer in kids ministry, but we did. We didn't know if we would ever be able to afford to pay me. Y'all, I legitimately made a $500 stipend for years during our church. I'm like, and then eventually we got there, and I could afford to get paid, and then we hired Aaron, and then we hired Chad, and then we hired Chris, and now we're hiring someone new in the next few months, and we can afford to pay them. It's a wonderful thing that's happened. And year after year, we kept growing and moving and changing. And one of the things that happened is we started to form our own identity as a church. And we started to build this footprint in Alcoa Middle School auditorium. And we built in it. And eventually in this room. And it has been such a joy to grow and to build this room, to add so many more to this good thing that we felt like was happening. It's been one of the great delights of my life. An incredible, incredible thing to join and welcome all of you. But if I'm really honest, our whole hope as a church has not been to just grow this room. I love growing this room. It's been such a delight. But our hope as a church is to grow something bigger. The way that we talk about it a lot is in our staff meetings is the footprint of our church. That we would grow in this room, but that the growth in this room would happen, that it would become a footprint all over our community in East Tennessee, that our church would touch so many different places and so many different people that might not ever actually walk into this room. Full disclosure, I have never been motivated by attendance. We do reviews and you have to set goals and then you set the metrics of the goals. And most people's metrics are like, you know, 200 people will come or 30 people will come or whatever. And I used to get in trouble because mine never had any numbers and they never had any people with them. My metrics would be like, I'll know that we are succeeding as a church when someone from the school system calls and asks for help. And it's like, that's not really a metric, you know, like there's no number to it. But that's how I saw it. I'm like, once someone from the schools asks for help, then I'll know we're doing it. We're doing this vision. We're doing what God asked us to do. And then they did. The Alcoa Middle School administration called us and asked us to do a break. Now, to be fair, that was Kyle Harrison. He was the vice principal, and he came to our church, but he still called me. And he said, will you do a breakfast for our teachers? And I'm like, yes, can I come? And can I talk to them all? And I don't know if he said yes, but I came anyway. And then it went from there. And then we got connected with the Family Resource Center and they started calling. And then Becky Stone, the director of schools, started calling. And we built this friendship and this relationship with the school system that exists today. And then it started to get bigger than just that. It wasn't just Alcoa schools, but Maryville schools were calling. And Blount County schools were calling. And we just got to say yes after yes after yes. Yes, we'll help. Yes, we'll be there. Yes, we'll do it. Maybe. A few times we had to be like, no, we can't, but I'll get the money and we'll find out how to. You know, like we just started to grow this footprint. And the circle kept getting wider. And it wasn't just reaching out to schools, but all kinds of different ministries and organizations. We built a friendship with Raising a Voice, now called Magnolia Ministries in East Knoxville, with the MLK Center, with Young Life, All Are Worthy, FCA, Yoke. And we didn't just get calls for help. We also got to walk into relationships where we could build a ministry of presence around friendships and relationships that would open us up to be able to spread more of the peace of Jesus into our community. We started becoming really good friends with other churches. And we shared all kinds of services with all kinds of churches from all kinds of different denominations. And then we started trying to build intentional, special relationships with businesses like CrossFit Pistol Creek. And Chad worked real hard on that one and talked about it all the time. Johnny has this like unbelievably intentional relationship with Renaissance Bank. There's been Diamond Jack, coffee shops like Vienna and Southern Grace and Honeybee in West Knoxville, Soiree. Half of you go to Chapelines every single Sunday after church. Like we started building intentional relationships. And then that footprint continued to grow and grow. During COVID, as things were starting to reopen, we were like, how can we support the local businesses in our community as a church? And so we created something called Dinner Together, where we show up at local restaurants, and we still do it, and we support local restaurants showing up all together. And there are restaurants all over this county that love the idea that all of us show up on a Monday night and eat dinner together. And there are a few restaurants who are actively praying that we will never, ever, ever do it again. If you were there that night, you know what I'm talking about. You know, this relational footprint, it just kept growing. But it wasn't just through our staff. This incredible thing has grown through you. It's grown through you. We started hearing stories from you about how this wasn't just something happening in this room or out there in our community. It was happening in your own lives. Stories in your neighborhoods, in your apartment complexes, your workplaces, where you go to school. Conversations you were having at the gym or on playgrounds or your kids' sports teams or all kinds of other places. And we started to build an identity and a vision around this movement as Vineyard Springbrook. Not by creating tons of programs and loads of ministries, but having eyes to see what God was doing around us, in us and around us, to find out how we could jump in and join and support what was already happening out there that we might be able to come behind financially or with people or with eyes to see a way of doing things. And that identity and vision, it's continued to grow. It began to grow how we looked outward, but then it also started to grow how we were looking inward and how we saw a vision for discipleship or how to practice the way of Jesus. We started building an identity around the practice of discovering Jesus in safe ways. The idea of accepting Jesus' invitation to come and see the wonder of who he is and what he's about. And by learning to put what we practice or what we discover about Jesus into practice, into our everyday lives. And so this vision, it might sound accidental, that it just kind of accidentally happened to us over time, but it's really not accidental. It really is on purpose. That isn't how vision works, right? But in order to talk about the intention of this vision and this mission for our church, we have to talk about what formed it in the scriptures. And in order to do that, we kind of have to do what we're doing with the story of our church. We have to go to the beginning in order to go to the end. And so in the very beginning of the scriptures, in the garden where all of human life and flourishing began, God gives the first humans a commission. He says, work the ground and bring order to it. If you've been here very long at all, you've heard those words over and over and over again. The first commission, what that means is that part of what it means to be a human being means to work and bring order and flourishing to the earth and the things that live on it. This is the commission of humanity for all of time. And then thousands of years later, Jesus comes and Jesus adds to that commission a second commission where he says, go out into the world, go here and near and far and all over the world and make disciples of all different kinds of peoples and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, the Great Commission. According to Jesus, his kingdom, his order and flourishing, it wouldn't just be for the earth and the things that lived on it, but it would also be for the soul. And so part of practicing the way of Jesus would be to tell everyone about the freedom of the good news of the kingdom of God. And then at the end of the Bible, so that's where it starts and that's where it middles. And then at the end of the scriptures in the book of Revelation, John the apostle gives us a picture that Johnny just read to us, a picture of what this commission looks like in all of its fullness through the glory and the perfection of Jesus. He gives us this vibrant picture of what the things that we have been called to do look like. I want to read verse 3 and 4 again as that picture and with that in mind. He says this, "I heard a loud shout from the throne saying, 'Look, God's home is now among his people. He will live with them, and they will be his people. God himself will be with them. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death or sorrow or crying or pain. All these things are gone forever.' And the one sitting on the throne said, 'Look, I am making everything new.'" I've loved these words for a lot of years, especially verse 5. But it gets quoted incorrectly a whole lot. Oftentimes by me. But when people talk about this verse, they talk about it as only like this future-minded thing, the thing that God will do one day in the future. And I do think that that's what it's about. You know, we use the context of the whole thing that Johnny just read us. This is absolutely verses about the future. But I think the language and the tense of this verse is really, really important. Because what it isn't saying is, "I will make all things new one day." What it is saying is, "Look, I am making everything new." As in now, today. This is something God is doing now in our lives and in our world. The book of Revelation is in many ways a book about the future, a book about what's coming, but this is also a promise for the present. I want to quote N.T. Wright, who is a genius theologian, and he talks about this. And Emily, I think it's long, so I think I've got a slide for it. He says this, "The point of the resurrection, renewal, making all things new, the point of the resurrection is that the present bodily life is not valueless just because it will die. What you do with your body in the present matters because God has a great future in store for it. What you do in the present by painting, preaching, singing, sewing, praying, teaching, building hospitals, digging wells, campaigning for justice, writing poems, caring for the needy, loving your neighbor as yourself, doing deadlifts, drinking wine at Diamond Jack." You know, we can keep going, right? All of these things, they will last into God's future. These activities are not simply ways of making the present a little less beastly and more bearable until the day we leave it all behind altogether. They are part of what we may call building for God's kingdom. God is in the business of building his kingdom, of making all things new. And I figure we as a church might as well partner with him in it. And so it's with this vision of what's to come that we birth this mission statement that will be for us, our church, moving forward. At Vineyard Springbrook, our church, our hope is that we would be a church filled with people who are partnering with God in his mission to make all things new. If it sounds a lot like our old mission statement, it is. It was a good one. So we changed the words. It means believing that God is doing good things all around us. And so we commit as the people of this church to join him in those good things, the good work of order and flourishing on every level in this room and also outside of this room in our own communities where we live and work and learn and play. It means learning to, as a church and as individuals, have eyes to see the renewing work of the kingdom everywhere and asking God's Spirit for the courage to jump in on that work wherever it is that we are. And here's the beauty of this mission and of this vision. While they're new sentences for us, ways for us to look and plan for the future of our church, they aren't just new ideas. This mission and this vision in so many ways is what we've already been about, what you're already doing. As you discover Jesus and become more like him, practicing his ways and doing the things that he did through the power of the Holy Spirit. So we're going to spend the next 3 weeks really kind of digging into that. What does it mean? What do we value? How will we bring this about as a church in our town and outside of our town and all of those things? But today I just kind of want to pause on this and take a minute. We do something every week we call Selah. And it's just a quiet breath or a quiet pause. And a lot of times I'll kind of direct you in how to pray. And I'm definitely going to do that today. But I want to ask for two things, two prayers to you, for you. Because you've ended up here, whether it's your very first Sunday or you were here on our very first Sunday and everything in between. Here's what I want to do. I want us to do two things. I want us to take a moment for celebration and a moment for blessing. So would you take a minute and allow the Holy Spirit to bring to your mind something to celebrate about our church, about Vineyard Spring Break? Again, if it's your first Sunday, it might be like, I like the person sitting next to me. You know, it could be anything. If you've been here all along, it might be too many to count. But I want to ask you to celebrate, to take a moment of gratitude and to thank God for what has been. And then the second thing I want you to do is I want you, again, first Sunday or you've been here all along, would you take a moment and ask for blessing for this place? We have this idea around blessing that we believe that if we offer things to God, he takes them and he blesses them. And so I think that there's something powerful if all together we offer to God this place and all of our people and ask him to bless us and keep us in it. So I'm going to pray and then I'll just give you a few minutes and then we'll come to the table together. So Jesus, we love you. And we thank you. I thank you for a place that has been, while at times incredibly difficult and costly, it has been a place where I can safely walk out what you've asked me to do. You've used it to renew and restore me on my insides. And I ask that you would take this offering on Sunday mornings and in core groups and in loads of places all over this community, would you take it and would you bless it and keep it? And would you offer it back to our community in a way that helps put things back together? In your name we pray.